You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to episode 78 of We'll Talk About That Later, a football podcast. I am your one of your co-hosts, Junior, or presento. I don't know what to call myself, but I'm here. I'm joined by Mark.
I'm here. The people don't want to hear from me this week, though.
No, they don't. Why?
They don't. Oh, we'll get into that. But there's been a big game over the weekend that I'm looking forward to getting started.
Okay. I'm also joined by Abdi. Abdi, how are you?
Yeah. The warm afterglow of a North London derby win.
Okay. Little spoiler there for you. And then, and last but certainly, I can't even say that word, certainly not least, Big Tans.
Yeah, how's it going?
Yeah. Now, come on, where's the...
Come on!
Yeah. Yeah. Big Tans, and I even called you Big Tans as well. Where's the energy?
Woo!
No? Okay. All right, okay. How were your weekends? Your respective weekends.
Oh, can we just get on with it, please? No. How are you asking me how my weekend was? What do you think, Junior?
No, because
absolutely amazing.
I just learned that you do a podcast at midnight on a Sunday, so I feel like I need to ask this because I don't know how one's weekend if they're doing a podcast on midnight on Sunday.
Can I just say, I've been doing this podcast with Tanya for almost 18 months now, yeah? And she just followed me on Twitter.
Do you know what? Yeah, I can't believe you didn't already follow me. How rude.
Yeah, I can't lie. When she followed me, I was like, oh, I didn't, because I go to her Twitter all the time, innit? But then
I didn't realise that
I didn't follow her back.
So what, you try to drop the follow bomb and you're actually in the same boat?
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Abdi loves to complain about something here, but he won't tell you the full story.
I think you can see through that the companionship we have here.
Absolutely.
Only a little 18 months, but we got there.
Yeah, we got there. And do you know what's funny? Didn't Tanya big us all up like the other week? So are you telling me that she bigged you up and you weren't even like following each other?
She typed in.
Yeah, you're rude.
Oh my goodness.
Big us up on Twitter, tag me and everything, but not
following. I thought I was following you, can't I?
Well, there you go. You can now see that when the podcast is off air, we don't talk to each other. But okay, let's get into it. Our spotlight game was none other than the North London Derby at the Emirates. And it's an exciting game. But before we go to myself, Abdi, or Tanya, let's get a neutral's opinion, because he was gassing up all week like, oh, I can't wait for this game, can't wait for this game. I want it to be goals, red card, this and that. And I can't lie, Mark, you put the fear of God in me because I was already nervous, but man's talking about goals and red cards. Tell me what you
got what he wanted, didn't it?
Yeah, he did. But
I got exactly what I wanted.
So yeah, tell the listeners a bit about, like, as a neutral, what the game was like for you and why do you look forward to this derby in particular?
I thought it was a good game, very good game. To answer your very last question, simply put, is because it's a derby that very rarely lets you down. Mm. So I knew pretty much for myself as a neutral, we were in for a very good game. One thing that I was surprised about was the level of maturity in Arsenal's performance, but also the lack of ambition from Mourinho and Tottenham. And the reason I say Mourinho first is because he's obviously set the team up to look quite attacking, I thought, on paper. You've got the 4-2-3-1, you've got Lucas in the hole, you've got your two wide men and Kane up top. Mm. But it wasn't what it seemed. And I think there was a bit too much defensive responsibility on Bell. He wasn't carrying that out. And it kind of swung up until, obviously, you got the Lamela goal, which we'll get to, which was crazy. But yeah, for me, I just thought Arsenal showed a maturity that I haven't seen much this season. I'm certainly seeing it in patches and especially more recently. And Spurs, I was let down with because of the lack of attacking intent, for sure.
Okay. All right. So let's tuck in then. Shall we start? Do we start or should Tanya start?
Let me start by asking Tanya a question.
Go on.
So obviously you're disappointed. Spurs, you lost 2-1, and that's obviously despite going 1-0 up and going into half time at 1-0. What would you have done, Tanya?
No, it was 1-1.
Oh, was it 1-1?
Yeah.
It was 1-1. What would you have done, Tanya, differently than Jose Mourinho did, or would you have set up the same? Because that same 11 has been performing well recently with Lucas in the 10. Would you have kept it like that, or maybe would you have kind of packed the midfield a bit more, Harry Winks or something, and really allowed Kane, Ben and Son to stay up the pitch and kind of get rid of those defensive responsibilities of an extra man in midfield?
Answer your question, Mark. What I wouldn't have done was start Doherty. And I don't want to scapegoat anybody, but I'm sorry. Like you say, Mark, that team that we started, majority of Tottenham fans were happy, but what we weren't happy about was Doherty. He is the weak link in this team. I've been tweeting about this guy. I've been ranting and raving about this guy. He might as well be a slug or a snail because as a footballer, he's absolutely useless. Useless. Like, it blows my mind how Aurier didn't start this game. Okay, fair enough, he played a full 90 against Zagreb, but I still don't see how Doherty warrants a starting place, especially when you know that left-hand side of Arsenal, like, that is their main threat. Tierney, how many times did he get in behind? And I know you mentioned this already, but Gareth Bale obviously didn't help things. He didn't track back or whatever. And we'll get into Jose Mourinho's approach because I thought it was an absolute bottle job from him. You know, we talk about Spurs as being bottle jobs, but as a manager, he completely bottled that game. And It's just unacceptable. Doherty, honestly, like, I'm done with that guy. I don't ever want to see him play for us again. But he will, because Jose seems to love him. And I honestly believe he's an Arsenal agent. Like, we played without 10 men anyway. Arsenal had 12 men, including Doherty, and we had 10 anyway. So when Lamela got sent off, we were down to 9 men, as far as I'm concerned, because he was absolute dross. Dross.
Strong words. I can't lie. I was a little bit surprised with how Tottenham set up. I genuinely thought that they would come at us, especially as the whole week, all I could hear from, well, not here because I was reading it on Twitter, was Arsenal are there for the taking. Arsenal are there for the taking. Arsenal are there for the taking. And I think, one, maybe Spurs fans kind of overestimated, or underestimated Arsenal in one sense. But I do agree in the fact that Spurs should have been set up more positively than they were. And Arsenal could have, and really should have been, 2 or 3 goals up before Lamella scored his goal, which we'll get to because, you know, big talking point. Because obviously we hit the bar with Emil Smith Rowe and we had a few chances that we just didn't take. But I was really, really happy with the attacking intent in Arsenal. Tierney looked like he was just a man on a mission just every single time. The first time he beat Doherty, he was like, that's it. I'm just running at this guy every single time. And I enjoyed that kind of... I enjoy that kind of... like, we used to see it from wingers. Like, when they realised that they've got a defender on toast, they would just actually just target him every single time. And Tierney did that. Tierney and Emil Smith Rowe really exploited the left-hand side. I never for 1 minute thought Bale was going to ever track back. So yeah, so I generally was surprised with how Spurs set up. But I do, you know, thinking about what Mark said about the maturity of the Arsenal performance, I have to agree. Like, I feel like even at 1-0, even though I was pissed, I did a Tanya, I threw my phone across the room. I was like so annoyed. I was like, how? We've played so well. But I just feel like at no point in the game did I feel that we didn't deserve to win that game. Even though the last 15 minutes, down to 10 men, Spurs looked like a completely different team and like they looked like
they could... Overall, I've just never been so disgusted with that performance from the manager, even to the players. Like, big players were hiding in that game. Harry Kane, I don't want to be too harsh on him because I don't actually think he was fit because he had a knock in the Europa League game. But what did he do? But at the same time, I don't want to blame Harry Kane because what could he have done? When we approached the game so negatively, he was getting no service. He couldn't get on the ball. And fair enough to Arsenal, like, they made it very difficult for us. They were pressing, they were very attacking. Emile Smith Rowe was an absolute powerhouse. Like, what do you expect? But when I see players not going for it and not turning up in a derby, but not even that, in a game where, you know, we could have capitalised, teams dropping points, we could have been closer to the top four, we've still got a game in hand. Not one player. But the manager, for me, I tell you, he's got blood on his hands because, like you said, Junior, everyone can see that Tierney was having an absolute field day. Everyone could see it. Like, he needed to go to Specsavers because it was so obvious where the change needed to be. Doherty needed to be taken off. And I'm not saying it could have completely changed the game, but you needed to sort out what was happening on that left-hand side. Like,
I don't know why Mourinho... I don't know why Mourinho took off Bale for Sissoko to protect Doherty when he should have just replaced Doherty.
Yeah.
He could have just taken off Doherty and put on an Aurier. Although, like, I did see a lot of Tottenham fans going, oh, well, he's an Arsenal fan, Arsenal agent. You forget Aurier is an Arsenal fan as well. So
wow.
It could have just been... And also, I know he's had a much better season, but all of a sudden, what Aurier is Tottenham's saviour now in defence. He apparently...
Yeah, this is the thing, Abdi. Doherty is that bad that we're having to call on Aurier. Aurier's not by no means the best right-back in the world. But to be fair to him, he has actually performed quite well this season. I would put him up there as one of the top right-backs this season. So, and he's performed so well in big games. What has Doherty done since he's been here?
I do think you were right about your earlier points about the setup. You've essentially started with four, you know, maybe not exactly Lucas Moura, but you've got four goal scorers on the pitch. Like Bale, Kane, they're all goal threats. Moura can get in the box and score goals as well. We've seen it. And then, so like, it's almost like a fluid front four. And then you set up defensively. I think there were some really poor performances from the likes of Ndombele and Højbjerg.
Yep.
Like, Ndombele's been quite shaky for the last couple of games.
He has. Noticed.
But just specifically this game as well, like, in terms of our players and the way we played, every time there was a loose ball, we were recovering it as well and sustaining attacks. And then Ndombele and Højbjerg really couldn't live with it. And also, there were so many fouls from the Tottenham players. Just on the game and the way it went from the Tottenham perspective, watching the likes of... obviously, Son didn't get much time on the pitch, but I wouldn't say you missed him that much because your replacement came on and scored. But from our Arsenal perspective, Emile Smith-Rowe, best game he's played for Arsenal, and he's played some high-quality games so far, but he was absolutely fantastic in this game. And we changed as well, like, When he went off, it was really different. We were like completely the way there was no connection between Willian and Tierney. And also for Odegaard as well. What a baller, man. I love this guy. He's just now he's getting to a box and scoring goals. He's obviously a really technical footballer, great first touch, good. He's really intelligent. He can link up with everyone, but also he works really hard as well. So that's why you can see he's playing all the time now and he's going to stay in the team. I really hope we can sign him on a permanent. I know it's early, but you know, at the end of the day, like we've only got 11 games left of the season. He's played quite a bit now and I really like the way he is. On the balance of the game, obviously we said we were going to mention it, but bloody hell, man. A Rabona nutmeg goal. It's just, and from him as well, when he came on, me and Junior were texting. I was like, I hate Lamella. I'm sorry, I have to say it to the Tottenham fans, but I absolutely hate Lamella.
Same.
Like, everyone does. He's a shithousery, isn't he? He's that kind of player.
He's absolutely, he is Jose Mourinho's Herrera. He is that guy. He's around. And he, from the minute he came on, you know he had specific instructions. Go and disrupt him. Like, he left one on David Luiz. Before he got booked for in the second half when he fouled Partey, he pulled down Smith Rowe.
It was like a rugby tackle. Like, he held him from behind.
It was a rugby tackle as well, and he was doing that quite a few times as well. But I mean, like I said, he's got that in his locker. Like, he's got fantastic ability. Sometimes his decision making is a bit shaky, but boy, that goal, like,
yeah, it was a
cheek to try it in a North London derby as well.
It's a beautiful goal, and it's sad that it wasn't the winning goal. But, you know, he only scored it because he ain't got a right foot. So as much as I want to give him credit, but look,
key fluke though.
There's no point scoring a goal like that and then doing something so stupid in the second half. He ended up getting sent off and we ended up losing the game. So I don't really care about the goal now. Couldn't care less.
I was saying to Abdi, like, people say the second yellow card might have been a bit harsh because...
No, I don't think so.
Did he mean it and stuff? I mean, I don't think so, but I was even saying that from everything that he had done previously in the game, that he shouldn't even been on the pitch for that incident. Like, because I think his first yellow card should have been the second yellow card for all the stuff that he had
first
done.
First ever red card he's received. Can you believe that? Lamella, all people.
It's so hard to believe. He just goes around kicking people.
I specifically remember that game at Stamford Bridge where Tottenham players lost their minds and Leicester won the league. That guy should have got about 6 red cards in that game.
So, didn't he stamp on, wasn't it him who stamped on Fabregas?
He stamped on Fabregas' hand, yeah. He's that guy. He's that guy.
He's that guy.
But yeah, to be fair, like, you know, if you support a team that has a player like Lamella in it, you're gonna love Lamella when he does that kind of stuff, especially in a big game in a derby, innit? So if we had that kind of player, I can imagine like any other team hates Xhaka and his antics when he's on the pitch. You know,
I mean, I hate Xhaka and his antics. So.
Yeah, I do. Sorry.
I can't get with the Xhaka one. I don't.
No, I mean, like, because Xhaka's always, he's always one of those guys who wants to, he pretends like he's a hard man, but he's always, like, doing that kind of stuff. He fouls, and he wants to get in there. Like, for example, like, you know what Jack Wilshere was like when he was playing? And he's always, like, getting in.
Oh, I hated him.
There's one specific thing that Xhaka does every single game. Every single game.
He draws the foul on it.
Yeah, he draws the foul, but the way he does it, he turns his body, and he sees the contact, he leaves his leg there, and as the contact's coming, he's already throwing himself to the ground. And it annoys me because refs, a lot of the time, well, now they're starting to not buy it a lot. Like, they're not believing him because he's so
right, we got to move on in a bit, but I just wanted to get everyone's opinion. Was it a pen?
Yeah, it was a pen, and that's Sanchez all over again. Like, the thing is, Lacazette fluffed his lines anyway. Like, he's such a I don't know how to describe him. He's just an absolute donut. He's a donut. Like, I don't know if he has a brain in there. I want him gone in the summer for me. Like, I was screaming, Sanchez is resurrected. Listen, he's back in that coffin, mate. He's back in that coffin. Stay in there and don't come out, mate. Because
false alarm.
He's terrible.
Yeah, I thought it was a pen as well. I thought, sit down in front of someone.
I thought it was a pen. And to all the people who didn't think it was a pen, we conceded a pen like that last season against Watford, where Welbeck shot and I can't remember the defender who brought him down.
David Luiz
brought him down after he shot, and the ref gave him a pen. So it has happened in the Premier League. We have had it against us.
The only question mark is that was it Lacazette swung his leg and it collided with Sanchez, but no, it's contact in the box.
Yeah, and Sanchez is diving across. Like, you can't do that. And
what an idiot!
See Jermaine Genius.
He basically cried without.
I don't
crying.
Know what
there
he
were,
said.
There were tears there.
No, Michael Dawson as well. I swear that he said every single decision was incorrect. He was like, no. It wasn't a pen. No, it wasn't a red card. It was really soft. The first yellow card. He hated. He was like.
But the thing
he was,
is,
he was like Mourinho. He was like Mourinho. He's like, does the referee do a press conference?
I'm sorry, but I tweeted this. Any Spurs fan that's complaining about the red card or the penalty, you're not looking at the bigger picture, because the bigger picture of the game was that we didn't turn up. Arsenal wanted it more. Jose got it absolutely wrong from minute one. Like, we can't be complaining about these decisions. It was an absolutely terrible performance. Mm. And Jose Mourinho, as I said, like, I'm fed up with him now. Like, I want to get this in here before we move on, yeah? And before you continue to praise Arsenal. But I put a poll out and I basically wanted to ask Tottenham fans and rival fans on whether they think Jose's underachieving, doing the best that he can, or whether he's overachieving. 57% think he's underachieving. 34.8% think he's doing the best that he can, and then only 7% think he's overachieving, which is quite interesting. And I got 574 votes. So really, I know it's a small portion of a massive fan base, but it's interesting. Most people think he isn't doing enough as a manager. Mm. And I don't think he is. Like, when you've got players like that on the pitch, you should be attacking them. And you said it in the beginning, Junior. I think Arsenal were there for the taking just because you didn't start Aubameyang. Big call from Arteta. You had no fans in the stadium. We're not ever going to get a better opportunity like we did. We're in good form. Why are we sitting back and just letting Arsenal dominate? And he took the same approach that worked way back when you didn't have the likes of Odegaard and Smith Rowe. Like, this, why does he keep being called this tactician? He got outclassed by Arteta. Absolutely outclassed. He's past it. He's a dinosaur. And I don't want anyone else telling me any different. I don't care about his CV. Win a trophy and I'm still winning gone at the end of the season. Ta-da.
Can I respond to the... well said, firstly. But can I respond to the Arsenal were there for the taking? Because the way I took it was a different way. Because... like I said, the week leading up to the game, I was seeing on Twitter that Arsenal are there for the taking. So even before Aubameyang was not going to play. And so the reason I think is because Arsenal obviously sit in 10th. And where me and Abdi have already said on this podcast that we are a 10th place side because our results don't lie, I do want to bring to light the fact that we are 10th place, but I don't think Arsenal and Tottenham squads are so different in certain aspects. And obviously now beating you, we're like 2 or 3 points behind you. So I don't think the gap is that big. And the reason why we're 10th, bad start to the season aside, is I'm going to list games here just really quickly that we've beaten ourselves, that we've dropped points because of ourselves. And therefore we should be a lot higher. But individual mistakes and stupidity keep us at the level that we currently are, which is 10th. So, Wolves, away from home, 2 red cards. David Luiz gave away that penalty. Aston Villa, away from home, that Cedric idiocy that led to the Aston Villa goal. Benfica, away. Benfica, where we basically, Ceballos gifted 2 goals to Benfica. And we were basically going to crash out. Burnley, away from home. You saw what Xhaka did. Burnley at home. Xhaka getting sent off. Southampton at home. We just got back into the game. Gabriel goes and gets sent off. Leeds away. We're in the game, you know, and he gets sent off. Pepe gets sent off in the...
But that's the thing, Junior. Like, given all of that, we have the players to force those mistakes and we didn't. Mm-hmm. We didn't press you at all. And that's where my frustration is. To not even try, that's suicide.
Yeah. I would agree with Tanya and say that Listen, I think any team that's lost 12 games or however many it is in the league in one season are there for the taking. I think Liverpool this season, who have lost 9 games, are there for the taking. I also think Spurs, who have lost 9 or 10 games, are there for the taking.
Yeah.
We're all there for the taking. I think that's a fair statement. But you've just got to go and do it on the day, and Spurs didn't do it, and Arsenal did. I think that's what it comes down to in terms of being there for the taking. Every team in the league, I think, is actually there for the taking this season.
Yeah. Agreed.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Although I am happy, finally.
Also. Ha, Tanya.
Let's move on. Okay, Newcastle versus Aston Villa was the first game of the weekend. 1-1. And all I have to say is that Newcastle, you know when you're down at the bottom, luck never goes on your side. If you see the goal that Newcastle conceded... Yeah, but like, I mean, in that aspect, great finish, isn't it? But when it's not going for you, it just doesn't go for you, does it? And they missed bare chances as well, Newcastle. They should have won that game. Any more?
Liz, well, they'll be kicking themselves if it turns out that the 2 points that they've essentially dropped from that game, because they could have and maybe should have won it. If it is those 2 points that, you know, if they do go down and it's 1 or 2 points, they'll be kicking themselves and it's their own fault. But on the flip side, Villa are missing.
Villa are missing Tanya's boy.
They're missing him drastically. I think their win percentage without him is such a drastic fall. It's crazy. But in those moments for Newcastle, you want your captain to stand up. And thankfully for them, Lascelles got the equaliser in the 94th minute, because another loss would have seriously dented confidence. It's probably dented highly already, but taking a loss there really wouldn't have been good for them.
That's a big point, because Brighton, we'll get to him, but Brighton ended up winning in it. So
And Fulham lost as well. So we'll talk about that later. the next game was Leeds versus Chelsea. And I swear down, we said it 3 weeks ago, whenever we said it, Chelsea are so boring, bro. It's just possession.
Do you know what? Boring. I think Chelsea, they need a striker, and they're just not scoring at the moment, but they're getting opportunities. I just think they don't have their scoring.
The problem with that is that they spent money on a big striker in the summer. They've got three strikers.
I know.
And they've got players.
Mark, tell me about that. Tell me about that big striker there.
And they've got players. I mean, Timo Werner, I think, has got 5 goals in almost 30 appearances in the league this season, or probably like 24, let's say. And that's not good enough. No.
Timo Werner's got issues.
Interestingly, though, which I can see this happening, a swap deal of Timo for Haaland. I can see that happening.
Nah, I can't see that happening.
It makes sense, though.
That's like swapping gold for poo.
It makes absolutely zero sense for Dortmund.
I can see it happening.
Because I feel like... Haaland going Chelsea. I cannot see... For one, I think Chelsea will be desperate to make Werner a success at the football club. And you can't just discount a player on one season. I mean, Abdi has already in like 5 games, but
I have on Doherty. Sorry, he's done.
But if one came for like 60 million, the other one came for pennies, you have to look at the difference. I think Chelsea will be desperate to see next season if Tuchel can get the best out of Werner.
You need to remember though, like Tuchel didn't sign him, did he?
So, I know, but like Tuchel was brought in to get the best out of Havertz and Werner. That was, you know, one of the mandates.
There's only so much you can do with it. It's like I said last time, it's like putting air freshener on a dog poop, man. It's like there's only so much you can do with a guy like that. He's obviously not that good. So, and also it comes to something where he's not playing and Havertz is playing as a striker.
But listen. I think in this modern day of football where managers are less and less signing players, and it turns out that the director of football or whoever it is signing these players. Like Frank Lampard wanted players that they didn't sign, you know? And so the club signed Werner. So I think the club want Werner to be a success. They want him to be their star man. And that's what I think Tuchel was...
Historically, we know what Chelsea... I know what you mean to. I don't mean to cut you off, but I mean... but I didn't mean to do that. historically, we know what Chelsea are on, innit? Chelsea, every single manager, they give him enough, and they give him money to either succeed or to fail. And Haaland, I honestly do think like Chelsea will probably be sniffing around him.
I think Man City will be after him because we'll get to Man City eventually, but I just think like Aguero's coming to the end of his time at City, and Gabriel Jesus has proved that he's not it. And
his dad used to play for City, right? So yeah,
that's where his career ended.
He's actually a Leeds fan.
Yeah, because of his dad as well.
Really? Oh.
But let's move on. I mean, before we move on, let's talk about Leeds. They missed a bucket load of chances.
Yeah.
And this
Tyler Roberts guy, yeah? I watched him for the last 20 minutes and he played up front and then literally he did every single aspect of a centre-forward role wrong. Couldn't hold it up. His first touch was terrible. Every single time because Leeds, they're very good at manufacturing chances and you know, sustaining the ball high up. I think one of the reasons we talked about Chelsea being boring is they sort of remind me of like Spain. Do you remember Spain when people were saying Spain were boring? That's because they have possession all the time.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for Leeds to like, which they did very well in terms of like getting chances. And well, also he knows he's very suited to the Spain like, playing against that Spanish style of play, possession style.
Well, I was going to say that this is the first time I've seen this many chances created against Chelsea since Tuchel took over.
I think it's points dropped for Chelsea though, because when you look 100%. At Leeds, like so many teams have panned them this season, even we have, and I'd say we've had a poor season. Like, I don't know how they didn't manage to win that when they've got so many attacking players on the pitch. That's what I don't get. They have the talent there, but they can't seem to score.
It's just because they play side to side. That's all. Like, it's very passive.
I don't think it's that bad, guys.
No, it's very passive. It's very passive.
It's the worst game to have like on a Saturday 12 lunchtime kickoff. You just want to go straight back to bed after all that.
It was a good game.
It was all right.
It was a good game, but like there's not many chances from like Chelsea's perspective, and like the game generally it petered out towards the end.
There's that famous clip from Jermaine Genus going in the Chelsea versus Tottenham semi-final where he's like, "Oh, we had all the possession, blah blah blah," and then everyone turns around to him and says, "Possession doesn't win you games." And that's the same thing here. You can have 95% possession, but if you don't create any chances, you're not going to score.
But they do create chances, though. That's what I'm saying. They do create chances.
Yeah, they do, but they didn't create many chances against Leeds. Is more the point? Like looking at this game specifically, not necessarily. Under Tuchel, they've been really good.
Because they, for the first time, actually, he went with four at the back. And it's obviously the first time they've played it. So do you think there's an element of that, getting used to another system? Yeah. Because they did concede quite a few chances, more so than you would expect against Leeds.
Yeah.
But, I mean, luckily for Chelsea, their next game is West Brom at home. So
you'd think.
Can I just say, Chilwell has been so bad recently.
I agree.
I can understand why he's playing Alonso.
Their fans were trying to say, "Oh, best left back in the league." No way. Luke Shaw's been better. Tierney's miles better. Reguilon's been better than him. Sorry, Chelsea.
And there's also Robertson.
There's also Robertson.
I swear down.
And Digne?
Digne.
He's Chilwell's been dead.
Every left back apart from Robertson, Marcus.
To be very honest, at the start of the season, if you said name your England 11 right now, at the very start of the season, I would have put Chilwell in.
We're gonna get to that.
Oh, we're gonna get to that. All right. Well, I'll say that then.
No, but Mark, finish your point.
But
I've
got to be really.
Abdi loves interrupting people.
He's not in. He wouldn't make it in my England 11 at the moment. You said it yourself, Abdi. He's not even a shoo-in in that Chelsea team at the moment. And Luke Shaw looks a lot better than him at the moment, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, and I mean, Luke Shaw is the top assisting left-back in the league as well. And he's flying. But we'll get to Man United and Luke Shaw. Next game is, as Abdi put it well, a yawn. I mean, what do you expect when Hodgson and Allardyce collide?
God.
Palace 1-1-0. At this point, I think...
Milivojevic pen.
I think at this point, it's pretty much confirmed that West Brom are going down. Sam Allardyce's record is deceased. And,
I made the mistake of tuning into this game for a little bit. Because I was thinking, all right, cool. It's Palace West Brom. It's not going to be an exciting game, but it's Hodgson's old team, Allardyce's old team. Maybe it might be a little bit interesting.
Not at all.
Free my boy Eze.
Hodgson, you know, bless him. It's just, you know,
he
what
needs to go, man. Just retire, put your feet up, have a cup of tea. Do you know what I mean? just give it up, Roy. Give it up.
Give it up, Roy. Cool. Next game. I think we can all agree was a bit of a shock result. Well, at least I wasn't expecting it. I don't know about you guys. And that is Everton versus Burnley. Burnley is historically a team that doesn't get many away game, like away wins. And going up against a good Everton team who probably in form or one of the informed teams in the league. And they got the 3 points. Mm. And by the way, do you know the McNeil goal? Which, firstly, like, amazing goal.
Unbelievable.
What a finish. That was their second goal from outside of the box this season.
Oh, my God. Bloody hell.
The other ones are all just crosses from the halfway line. And
every
Chris
time
Wood
I look at you, know, Chris Wood. Yeah, exactly. Chris Wood, that was a decent enough finish, yeah. But every time I watch Chris Wood, he just looks like ready-sorted Chris Finnick. Just like...
just plain.
He's like... He's so plain. He's a cheese sandwich with like water. That's his meal deal.
With water. But shout out to all the people who love cheese sandwiches and ready sorted crisps,
yeah,
like
exactly.
Sean Dash. So
yeah, and worms.
No, but I think that's a big, massive point. 3 points, sorry, for Burnley, because they could have been dragged into that relegation scrap. But I think.
Everton at home, man. What is going on? They
yeah,
lost
I know.
To Fulham recently, Newcastle recently, and also like I think they've got like one win in the last four or five in at home as well. So, and they're much better. And they were like a couple of weeks ago, they were like right in there in terms of the top four race and everything. So,
yeah.
Abdi,
yeah.
What
did you put here on the agenda? Everton own Merseyside.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Burnley,
why did you do that?
Sorry, I didn't mean Everton. I meant Burnley. Burnley own Merseyside.
I was about to say we're talking about them losing and their poor home record. And you're saying they own Merseyside.
Just quickly,
great goal. Right, go on, Mark.
No, I was going to say that you said, Junior, that the 3 points is massive for Burnley, which it is. It absolutely is massive for Burnley. It gives them a bit of breathing space. But I actually think the performance, just in general, was big for them.
Yeah.
They deserved every last ounce of those 3 points. I think they were the better team. They went unlucky on a few other occasions.
They should have scored more.
They should have scored more. I think it was Goodmanson who hit the post with a decent strike from outside the box, actually, funnily enough.
And they had a couple of scraps, which Pickford had to save.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was good. It was good to see from Burnley, because I'm used to watching them and just seeing lump after lump after lump and long ball. And it was slightly different from them. And as Abdi mentioned, it was a decent enough finish from Chris Wood. And then obviously you've got Dwight McNeil, who... firstly has sent,
I was gonna say
he sent
that goal.
A real internationally acclaimed footballer in Allen. He's firstly sent him to the shops, and then just to the way he shapes his body and just caresses it into the top corner it was honestly I know Lamella's goal was unbelievable, and you don't see it much, but the McNeil goal was my favorite of the weekend.
I have a question for you guys. And you cannot
give Everton.
I have a question for you guys, and you can answer individually or one of you answer, I don't know, but do you think Dwight McNeil is underrated?
Yes. 100%.
I think he's rated, but I don't think he's
do
underrated.
Do you?
No.
I don't think he's rated at all.
McNeil.
And people always go like, oh, he's a Burnley player. Of course he's going to stand out. No, like, I think he has genuine quality.
Oh, my God, he's only 21.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's
very
in
young,
the
yeah.
England under 21 squad for the Euros. He's super young. And you've got to think, last season, I think he started 90-odd percent of Burnley's games.
Think he started every game in the league.
He takes on a lot.
I do think he's underused, because he plays him like, the way he plays him is just, you play on the left wing and you just put crosses into those big men up front, where he can easily play like, you know, like, for example, like Gareth Bale's kind of role, you know, playing on the inside right and playing, being more of a technical player. Yeah. Like he's got more than what he's doing.
Yeah, I
genuinely think he's underrated.
I think I agree. I honestly see, and I'm not comparing them as players, but I see a hint of Maddison in him in terms of what he can do with his left foot and how he can perfectly weight a ball, and the bend he can produce is just amazing. Actually, I'm a massive fan, and he will get that move soon enough to maybe not one of the big clubs, but you know, like an Everton or a Leicester. I can definitely see that happening, and you never know what happens from there.
And I know that the team he plays for doesn't kind of allow him to express himself so much, but do you think he's only got 2 goals this season? Do you think he should be scoring more?
Should be, but as Abdi said, the the way Burnley are set up in that stiff, old-fashioned 4-4-2 is just, there's not much leeway for him to really get into those areas.
He doesn't get many opportunities. Yeah. He doesn't get many opportunities to cut in on his left and to shoot like he did on the weekend.
I agree.
His only other goal was that weird goal he scored against Aston Villa where he passed it from like halfway all the way in.
So let's move on. The next game was Man City, who recovered midweek from their 2-0 defeat to Man United by giving Southampton absolute pasting, 5-2.
I don't mean to cut in, Junior, but can we quickly talk about the worst refereeing decision ever?
Come on.
Foden's.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, it's like
we talk about referees every week, but that is just the worst of it that I've seen yet.
Talk about encouraging players to go down. Is that not going to make every player stop and think, right, I need to go down to get something? Because the contact was there. In fact, it was more than contact. It was bottom of boot to ankle. Like, it was proper. Could have been worse than it was. Not to put the microscope on it in that sense, but it's a stonewall pen.
I think we've said it time and time again. The referees in this league are absolutely terrible.
So
do you think the electricity is working in the VAR room? Clearly, they can't see anything.
But they can clearly communicate. They can clearly say
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't look at it. I missed it. Sorry.
Sorry.
All right. Let's get to the game at the weekend. Man City went to Fulham, and Fulham had some really decent results of late, sorry, Mark. They beat Liverpool and they beat Sheffield United.
Mark.
Yeah, no, because I don't want to bring up past pains. Mark's had a good week.
This is true.
But yeah, they've had some good wins, and then obviously Man City come to town. I personally don't think Fulham should be disheartened by a 3-0 beating from Man City. I think next week they have to look at it and just go again. But what do you guys think of the game?
City just stepped up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's all they need to do. They need to go from, from first gear to second gear, and then boom, the game's done. You're beaten.
And can we? I mean, the game kind of the scoreline speaks the story for itself. It was a comfortable 3-0 win for City.
Yep.
But can we just actually veer away from the game and I want people to understand the genuine strength of depth that City have to leave Sterling out of the squad completely. To have KDB on the bench, Gundogan, Foden on the bench, Mahrez on the bench, all of these players that would start for 95% of Premier League teams, all on the bench, and the players who were on the pitch still got the nice and easy 3-0 win. It's actually
the first time ever I've seen Guardiola use a back three, especially for City as well. He played all three of the centre backs, and can you imagine? Like, most of the season, he's not been able to start Laporte. That is wild. And you look at the teams who are having difficulties at centre back, specifically Liverpool, and Guardiola has the luxury of having Laporte on the bench for most of the season.
And on top of that, you got man like Ake, who he just
fourth choice, there. Pretty much.
Yeah, 40 million, just a calm 40 million.
Also, man like John Stones, has got the same amount of goals as Martial in the league. Can we just beat that?
I mean, I've been saying about Martial. I can't even... this guy... I don't even know if he's ever going to score again.
Underestimating how much of a lethal finisher John Stones is.
He's a top finisher. Well,
Tanya, how many... What is he on? 4 or 5?
He's like 4 goals, I think,
Martial hasn't scored in a while, and I don't know if he's ever going to score again. But yeah, it's... But just on Fulham. Oh, sorry, go on, Tanya.
No, I'm saying I thought you'd like that one, Junior.
No, I did. just on Fulham, massive game at the weekend. They play Leeds at home. Is it at home? Yes, at home.
Oh, come on, Fulham, please. I'm so sick of Leeds. Their manager, every time, looks like he's doing the bus it challenge. Like, please, just stop.
Listen, can I just say, Tanya got what she wanted. Chris Wilder has left. We'll talk about it in a bit.
Yes!
And now she's like, she's gunning for Bielsa. Tanya, are you like Ramsey? Like, every time Ramsey scored, someone died. But you're like, every time you put your eye on a manager, they get fired. What's the deal?
No, I don't hate Bielsa, but come on, just stay up, man. It's not every day on your knees. Do you know what I mean? Come on.
He's not on his knees.
He's on his haunches.
On his haunches. Yeah, that's what I meant. Anyway, we digress.
All right, all right, cool. Massive game though.
Forever.
Sorry, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Aguero's first goal in forever. Been injured a lot, but we haven't discussed the question I asked because Tanya interrupted about Bielsa.
Sorry.
massive game for Fulham against Leeds next week. What do you guys think? I know we rarely predict things on this podcast, but what do you think? I think Fulham would be desperate.
Their game early in the season was a cracker. I mean, it was right at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
They won 4-3 Leeds. But Leeds, they don't travel well and they haven't got a single point in London so far.
Wow.
So it'll be a big game for Fulham and a big chance for them as well. And I hope Fulham do pull it out as well. They've got some quality midfielders, obviously.
They do.
I think Harrison Reed's been playing very well. Lamina has got that good goal against Liverpool last week. And you've got Ruben Loftus-Cheek and Anguissa, who I think is very, very good as well.
Because the reason why I ask is because, so they play Leeds, but then it starts to look really difficult. They got Villa, Wolves, Arsenal, Chelsea, Burnley, Southampton away, Man United away, and then last day of the season is incredibly massive against Newcastle.
They deserve to stay up. I just think Scott Parker's such a top manager. You know, he's been able to... How far off were they from the relegation zone? Let's be real, like, to catch up, true. He's done a great job. And I don't know, like, I've got a friend that I've been doing the shows with, Kendall. She's a big Newcastle fan and she'll hate me saying this, but I would like to see them get relegated, to be honest. I'm sick of Newcastle.
My friend, I want her sad.
I want to see you crying. I want to see you crying, Kendall, at the end of the season.
I'm sorry, Kendall. But what I'm saying is Fulham deserves to stay up and up here. They play great football, good players.
So on that note then, Tanya, do you not think that maybe, potentially, they've left it too little too late?
Yeah, that's a point, considering the fixtures that you just said there.
It's a tough run.
But in terms of the fixtures, they're 18th. Everyone above them, essentially, is who they've got left. So all of the games are going to be tough.
Okay, that's very true. But, you know, I see three or four games here that they should be targeting where they should get points. Leeds, Southampton, Burnley and Newcastle. The rest are a bit of a myth.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be enough to say them. They're going to have to get some big results.
Yeah, they are.
Some places.
Let's move on. Okay. So, Fulham fans, Tanya's praying with you. And let's move on. To fellow strugglers, Brighton. South Coast Derby.
This was a really, really, really good game. Brighton play some excellent football. This is actually on BBC One. One of them random ones that are on BBC One. But I love the way Brighton play, especially that winning goal, Trossard's goal. Welbeck's first time pass. Lallana's pass into Welbeck, wrapped it into him. And Welbeck's beautiful first time pass into Trossard. Did you see the first goal, Dunk, when he headed it? Mm-hmm. And Fraser Forster dived about 2 minutes later.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what an idiot.
Man dived the ball hit the back of the net. The net was ripping.
I love
just
the way Brighton
moving.
Play football. Like, the people call him the lower half of the table Guardiola, because I love the way they build out of the back. And they've got a lot of quality players, but, you know, their issue obviously this season has been goals in it. So it's nice to see them get a couple of goals and win the game.
Yeah, I agree. I think they've got too much quality in the squad. I really like Graham Potter as a manager. And to top it all off, they try and play football the right way. So I'm really hoping, as Tanya is for Fulham, I am hoping that we see Brighton stay up. And I think they have way than enough more quality over the likes of, sorry to Tanya's friend, Newcastle. Who I can see dropping a lot more points than that Brighton team that we saw on Sunday morning.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. If we're going to have to start apologising to people because of teams they support, then we're going to have to start apologising a lot. But
I'm never going to apologise to any Tottenham fan. Sorry.
Yeah, same here.
One thing, let's talk about Southampton, because they are nosediving into trouble. And I don't know, like, without Danny Ings, you'd expect Che Adams to step up, which he has in the last couple of games.
He has been, yeah.
2 goals in the last couple of games, and what a goal at the weekend again, like another volley. How is Hasenhüttl going to drag them out of this situation?
I don't know, it's crazy. I think Tanya mentioned it last week or the week before that we literally, in our mid-season awards, we gave him the manager of the season. And at the time, he deserved it. But it's an interesting one. I can't actually remember exactly how many points Southampton are safe by now. But if they keep losing games, they're really going to get into a battle that they shouldn't be in. And it's going to be interesting.
Tell you, Mark.
Let us know. And while you do, I'll give you an interesting fact on Shea Adams, actually. So go Scotland.
On. I was just about to say that.
Yeah, I was about to say that too.
Hey, I've won the race. Yeah, Scotland, Scotland are looking to kind of have him playing for them. I think he qualifies for a grandparent. So he made a couple of caps for England under 20s, but he's never gone further than England under 20s. So we could see.
He's never going to get into the senior side.
It is the best decision for him. And it'll be interesting because that means we will see him against England in the Euros, because obviously it's England, Scotland in the group stages.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
So, okay. Mark said they have a little bit of a buffer, which is true. But currently, Southampton sit on in 14th with 33 points, level on points with Burnley, but just got a better goal difference. Then comes Brighton with 29, then Newcastle with 28, and then Fulham with 26.
Listen, Southampton will get dragged in.
I don't know. They're struggling to win games. You look, and I even mentioned Fulham play Southampton at Craven Cottage in a few weeks. So that's going to be a massive game.
I think if Southampton continue to lose games, I think it's at St Mary's. But wherever it is,
I'm pretty sure they played it.
If they continue to lose games, if they lose their next two, and the teams around them pick up a point or 3 points or a win and a draw, they are in that battle. On 100%. If they don't pick up points in their next two or three games, they're in that battle.
Yep.
I think not only do they miss Danny Ings, but I think Walcott's been injured as well. And then they're not really. And
they've had lots of injuries.
Their pressing hasn't been there like it was earlier this season as well. So
it's like most teams in the league, that once you get through that first 11, it starts to look a bit thin.
But I think it also shows you the fatigue that every single player in this league is running under. Because one of the things that made Southampton such a good team at the start of the season was their ability to win the ball back quickly and high up the field.
Yeah.
And it just looks like they don't have the energy, or they're not doing that anymore. And it's a weird one.
All right, let's move on. I was going to say to fellow scrappers, but it's not fellow scrappers. They're gone. They've, like Tanya said, buried. Get in that coffin. It's over. The championship coffin awaits you. Sheffield United took a decent spanking from Leicester, 5-0.
Did Chris Wilde, did he get sacked or did he just leave?
No, he left because of disagreements on transfers for next season.
Oh no!
Because now I can't see them coming back up, because they had no business being in this league without Chris Wilder. Chris Wilder is the one who took them from League One to the Premier League.
You raise a good point.
They're gone. So there's no chance they're gonna come back now.
But they were a top four side last season. It was so
not
good,
top four,
right?
Top six.
Oh, four.
Nah, shout out to Leicester because they scored some fantastic.
And shout out to Iheanacho. I know I made a joke last week.
Iheanacho, baller.
I know I made a joke last week that if Iheanacho scores, you know you've had a bad week. But he scored a hat trick and played really, really well. Two assists from Jamie Vardy as well.
Three assists. He got two for the own goal. The last one was the own goal.
But the own goal doesn't count. The own goal, they don't give it to him. Well, apparently.
Yeah, it's his assist because it was an own goal.
Well, and interestingly as well, like Iheanacho, I didn't know that he lost his mum until get a hat trick on Mother's Day. Like, I think he did a really sweet interview, actually. So
he did, yeah.
Big him up. He seems like a lovely
man
guy.
Man said, I never had spared it.
Don't take the mic.
Abdi, that's uncalled for.
Uncalled for.
But so, you know, Leicester, no Barnes, no Madison, and they continue to pick up points.
Quick question, actually.
Has Abdi frozen? Because he's just there cheating.
He's either smiling or he's frozen. I got a quick question. Do you think, you just mentioned it, no Harvey Barnes and no James Madison. Do you think, because I saw a Jamie Vardy that I haven't seen for a while, like a Jamie Vardy who wasn't on the end of all the chances, but a Jamie Vardy who was creating all the chances. Do you think there's a bit of him thinking, well, I've got to take a bit of the creative onus onto myself here because two of our two most creative players aren't here anymore?
I think that's a very good point. I think one thing that I think we need to realise as well is that Vardy hasn't scored for a while. So I think one way to boost your confidence, get your confidence back up again, is getting more involved in play. And where Brendan Rodgers previously, and I don't know if we've ever talked about it, this on the on our, on the podcast, but in previous, like last season, when Brendan Rodgers came in, Vardy was told to just stay up the top, like just stay on the shoulder of the defender. And I think because I think Rodgers has been really smart in the way that he's brought in Iheanacho, so they're playing two up top to support whilst Vardy goes through this run of form. And then we've seen, like you said, Mark, Vardy dropping in deep to collect the ball, get involved. And then obviously you get the two or three assists that you got in that game.
Sorry, did you guys lose me there?
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was actually good for 2 minutes. I don't know.
I was trying to make a joke about Iheanacho and then you missed all of it.
Oh, well. Let's move on.
I never expected it.
Oh no, we heard that. We definitely heard that. And we didn't react as well. Let's move on. Man United versus West Ham. I was expecting, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong for expecting an exciting game, but I was expecting an exciting game. And what I got was, and probably what I should have been expecting, was Man United dominated the game and West Ham literally sat back, didn't offer anything. And it was only in the second half that, you know, they tried, but still, I think...
I just talk about Man United fans in general? Because they're absolutely outraged with this season and I don't know where this has come from. Like, I know that there's, you know... opinions about Ollie, you know, as a PE teacher and whatnot, but if you think that, what are you expecting him to do? Like, you've got second place. Like, I'm seeing fans say, get this guy out, why are you giving him time for all of this stuff? And I don't know, I just feel like it is a little bit harsh.
Do you know what, I agree. When you look at the, if you're looking domestically, I can agree, but if you're looking in terms of what they've done in Europe, I mean, they got knocked out of the Champions League group stage by a Leipzig team that, let's be honest, we've just brushed aside in our worst form in recent history. We've just absolutely brushed them aside and beat them 4-0 over two legs. So I can understand their frustration.
Yeah.
They should have at the very least got to the Champions League last 16. But yeah, I have you super right. In the league, I mean, this season, there's no catching City, and best after first is second. And
the only thing is that Tans, They were top half point, innit? And now they're, what, 14 points behind, innit? So
the issue for me, I think, is why they're annoyed is that if you take away the Southampton 9-0, they're on 45 goals this season, which is mid-table. If you look at the rest of the... And they've also drawn 9 games, which...
Yeah, I see that. I can see that.
Obviously, we've talked about the big games where they just set up to not concede and all that kind of stuff. So if you're a Man United fan...
Oh, yeah, the big games as well, yeah.
If you're a Man United fan and you look at it, it's uninspiring, I guess
I forget that when you have clubs like United who have such a successful history, the expectations are just so high and they expect to be winning Premier League. So I guess that's probably why fans just massively overreact and get angry. But
just on this game, yeah, I really think if Lingard was playing... Obviously, he can't play.
They only had one out ball, which was Antonio, and he was very isolated.
I have to be really honest, and I was so disappointed with West Ham and actually David Moyes as well with how he set up. West Ham have done so well this season because they've attacked games and played football, and then it's all of a sudden, oh, we're going to Old Trafford, we're gonna go back to our old ways. We're gonna sit deep with 10 men behind the ball.
Inferiority or complex?
I don't know. Now would have been the time to really attack that and go
for
something.
Can I ask a question then?
Considering, let's be honest, if you're West Ham fan right now, me personally as a neutral, I don't think they are gonna make top four, and most people probably don't. But if you're a West Ham fan, it's the best chance you're gonna have in the next 10 years, and also in the past 10 years. You want to see your manager attack it and at least go for something, at least in the second half, go for it a bit more. But
can I ask a question based on that assessment, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, West Ham's lineup usually has Fornals and now Lingard. Where both, where Fornals was injured and Lingard was,
yeah,
couldn't play.
I hear you, but sorry for cutting you in, but he still went too safe. Like, why would you leave Benrahma on the bench, for example, if Lingard and Fornals are injured?
Yeah.
Then you start Noble.
And you start Mark Noble instead. You've got Benrahma on the bench who can give you a bit of flair. You can get close to Antonio and actually start to play with Antonio. Or you've got Mark Noble who's just going to sit deep. He's going to be 15, 20 metres away from Antonio at all times. And every time Antonio gets the ball, he's going to have no options. And West Ham are going to lose it. And it's going to recycle. And United are going to attack again. And that's what happened. So that's what I mean.
He's probably going to be singing God Save the Queen whilst playing as well.
But he has signed a new 1-year deal at West Ham, Mark Noble.
His last season.
And I'm sure he's hoping there'll be a bit of European football there in the Europa League for that last season. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. But yeah, I was just a little bit disappointed with the approach from
David Moyes. You were little. I was very. That they offered nothing. Like, literally nothing. We talked about it before. Luke Shaw, another good game. Is he basically cementing his spot in the Euro team?
100%. If we're going to reward form, then you have to, because he's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about him last week, scored a great goal. And he's been Man United's most consistent player. When he's not playing, like, the drop-off between him and Telles is crazy. Like, beginning of the season, when it was literally right after they lost 6-1 to Tottenham, and he had a terrible game in that game, and everyone was questioning him. And then, literally, they bought Telles a couple of days later when the transfer window closed. Everyone thought, okay, cool, that's it. The guy's going to move Luke Shaw out of the team. He's responded to it, and now he's like, if you think about who's the player of the season for Man United, it's probably between him and Bruno. And I think, you know, he's been, especially now, he's been England's best left back this season. So,
good point. Any other things on this, or shall we move on?
Yeah,
and also like midweek as well, Man United against AC Milan. They were so rubbish, and AC Milan completely deserved it.
They ruined what was a really good goal by Ahmad. Like, what a goal that was.
Great run.
But I don't feel like Man United deserved anything from that game. I mean,
they didn't.
What's the midfielder?
Kessie. Frank Kessie. Mm.
Yeah, he was on a madness.
He had a perfectly legitimate goal. Disallowed. He just hit his hip.
VAR in it. Anyway, let's move on. Marcus.
Yes.
Liverpool rounded off a fantastic week by, like you said previously, getting through in the Champions League against Leipzig. Brilliant performance there. Did what you had to do. Then you play Wolves. Tricky fixture. Never easy going to Wolves. And you win 1-0. And Jota came back to curse his old club. But how did you see it?
Well, firstly, I think this is the first episode I've come on in about a month or even longer that we've actually won in the league. So that's why I'm quite happy today. But all in all, I was pleased with the clean sheet and the win mainly because, let's be honest, I know Wolves aren't having the best of seasons, but Wolves away is one of the tough ones in the league. It is a big threat. I thought Kabak and Phillips were great, and it's good to see that partnership maturing because we need a centre-back partnership. It's just the last us now until the end of the season. We desperately need it, and they've played 3 times together now, and they've kept 3 clean sheets. So there's another positive for us. And I thought Kabak actually in particular was great last night.
For
someone who's 20 years old, I thought there was a lot of unnecessary pressure on him when he made his debut and he had a bit of a shaky game. I think people forgot that he genuinely is just 20 years old, but I've watched him every game since now, and he's really growing into that role, and it's good to see.
Question about Kabak.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about Kabak. Hey, do you think you're going to sign him permanently?
I think
if you're Jurgen Klopp, are you signing him permanently right now?
I think so. Yeah, just because, like I said, he's 20 year old, and I would sign him not as a starter. I would sign him actually as third or fourth choice, with the intentions of obviously over the years him becoming a regular in defence. 100%.
Kind of a Soyuncu situation.
Yeah, and we've got a 17 million clause, and if we want to activate it, we can buy him for 17 million, which in this day and age is peanuts for a really promising young centre back.
Because I was going to say, like, you guys will probably get a really good deal considering Schalke's position.
That's what I mean. Well, the sum's already been set and it's not an obligation. Okay. It's an option to buy. So whether we do it or not, I think that's down to him and his performances from now until the end of the season. But if we're basing it on what we saw last night, then absolutely is the answer to that one, Abdi.
I was just going to ask you about Jota.
Yeah.
Like he's back and
he looks sharp,
it's
man.
So good sharp. To have him back. Yeah. And this is him just kind of still off the back of a 3-month layoff to look that sharp. And it almost looks like he hasn't been out to me. And it's just so good.
I just wanted to make one point I just wanted to make one point on Jota.
You keep apologizing, but you keep doing it.
Yeah, you do.
How about you stop?
No, no. Do you know what? It's the polite apology. So it's cool. You can.
You can cut in on me if you want, yeah. But I mean, Jota. I was talking to my mate about because you said you wanted Jota down the middle, wouldn't it? Replacing Firmino. But I was talking to my friend and I was like, because it looked like yesterday Mane was playing down the middle, and I really thought that it was a good idea to have Mane down the middle because Mane has not been at his best this season. Like, especially the last couple of weeks as well, he's been a bit shaky, but he's coming into it. Yesterday, he looked quite sharp, playing down the middle a bit. Jota, he's definitely the type of player I like when he's running with the ball. And I feel like he could do that more when he's coming off the left-hand side as well.
I agree, but you've got to remember that you look at Klopp's Liverpool team and his number nine is always one who drops deep anyway and wants the ball.
Yeah.
So I agree. Jota did start up top yesterday, but the beauty of having Jota in there is that him and Mane, you were right, it just kept alternating all night. So one moment you see Jota on the left and Mane up top, and then one moment it's flipped back. And I love that. And we don't really get that with Firmino as much in the sense that he can drop over to the left, but he hasn't really got the pace or the same quality on the ball that Jota has. I thought Trent was great last night. I thought he kept Neto really quiet.
Best I've ever seen, yeah.
So good last night, and it's so good to see him back to his best. Just in time for the Euros. But I thought he was great. So he gets a lot of stick. So for me, he has to get praise when he deserves it. And yeah, actually, I wanted to, because I assumed you guys would ask me about the top four. So I'm just going to read out a quote from Jamie Carragher, because he basically summed it up way better than I could. And it's actually exactly how I feel. And he said this on Monday Night Football after the game. He said, it's been a freak season, and especially when you look at the teams Liverpool have lost to. At this moment, I still believe Liverpool will miss out on the top four, as do I. However, they need to make teams like Leicester and Chelsea nervous and see what they can do. With 4 or 5 games to go, they need to be in a position where they can jump at any mistakes the teams above them make. And I think that's key for us. I think we need to stay in the mix right until there's 4 or 5 games to go. And exactly like you said, we need to be there to pounce. For me, this win will mean absolutely nothing if we don't go and win our next 2 or 3 games in the league. The pressure, we have to be putting pressure on ourselves now to win games of football consecutively, or it's Europa League football or absolutely no European football. I'm not letting this win kind of change my perception of this season, but I think the win is really important for us in the sense that it's just come at the right time. And if we can build some momentum now, you never know.
You come to the Emirates in a few weeks.
I know. Next game is...
That
will
be a good game.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Unfortunately, we've got a big international
You know you're getting
break.
Duffied, yeah?
You looked in the mirror when you said that, yeah?
You know? Good one. I just wanted to...
man said good
it's,
one.
It's really evident now that you're way stronger defensively in the last 2 games, specifically. Obviously, Phillips has been really good as well. And like you made the point that, you know, he looks like he has bricks for fun. And... I just want to also as well, like, in the last 2 games you played midfield, Fabinho has been back in midfield, which has
so
been very
good
helpful. But there's a bit of an issue now, I see, is that obviously he's young, but still, like, Gini, he's going to play because he's captain at the moment because Henderson's out. Thiago, he seems to have enjoyed playing alongside Fabinho. And obviously you've got Fabinho there. Where does Curtis Jones fit in there? Because he's been fantastic. Like, I feel like he's been one of Liverpool's best performers in this tough time.
Yeah.
So what happens
then? He has been fantastic, but you got to remember, he's still a young player. And if we didn't face the injury crisis that we did earlier on in the season, he wouldn't have played as much as he did. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I hear what you're saying. He's now earned the right to play more, definitely. But sometimes you just have to put your strongest team out. And at the moment, Curtis Jones isn't in our strongest team, despite being a really, really good young player. I think he will be in our strongest team in a couple of years. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I would definitely consider having him in there. I hear what you're saying, but over who is the question.
All right. We've talked a lot about Liverpool. Let's talk a little bit about Wolves. I have one question for you guys. I know he's young, so allow it, but I just want to get your opinion. Fabio Silva is 18. I know, before people throw that at me. But the games that he's played, he gets himself into some useful positions.
Exactly.
And he fluffs his lines every single time.
The one that came off his shoulder last night, I mean, genuinely, he had a good 5 or 6 seconds where he was watching that ball and just tracking it.
Yeah.
And for that to hit you on the shoulder, as a striker, right in front of goal, in the 6-yard box...
He should be feeding off that.
Should be feeding off that.
I mean, it's probably a confidence thing. I mean, I know I criticise Bergsvall because he seems to miss sitters all the time. But I guess you do probably just... The more you miss, I can imagine psychologically, it just knocks your confidence each time, doesn't it?
Actually,
so it's probably that.
He looks really unrefined. Like, he just needs a bit more, like, fine-tuning a bit more. Like, he gets into the positions and he's fluffing his chances a lot. You know who it reminds me of? And I know it's a bit over the top, but it reminds me of Sonogo. Like when I used to watch Sonogo, he was just a mess all the time.
Like,
calm down, mate. He's talented, but like he just keeps like fluffing.
I mean, Wolves obviously saw something in him to spend 40 odd million on him. But actually, I thank you so much, Junior, for mentioning Fabio Silva, because I just wanted to mention Willian Jose is so bad of a football player. It's unbelievable. I don't know how many of you watched the full game on Monday night, but you could see, there were a couple of decent passes in there, but so what? Like, he is just terrible. He had one of the worst games I've seen from a Premier League player in a long time.
There were times where I thought Kabak was just laughing at him. Like, you're this bad.
You could tell that Wolves were really desperate with the Jimenez injury that they... Like, they just were desperate to bring someone in. And I guess, where did he come from? Real Sociedad. I think they were, something like that.
But like, the person I have the most issue with is Adama Traore. Because I said last week, when I watched Brighton, they make me sick. Adama Traore just makes me want to vomit every time I watch it.
Oh my goodness.
The guy has got all the tools. He dribbles past players for fun, but his final third is just... Nah, I hate watching like his decisions. He's like a blunt knife, man. He jars me so much. There's so many times yesterday where there was, right at the end as well, like after the, we'll get into Patricio in a second, but after the long layoff, that he was running, he ran through like three players and he had a chance to put the ball in and then he overhit it.
His finishing product is, his end product is horrible.
Do you know what? Yeah. He spends too much time putting oil in his arms and doesn't actually work on his game.
No, honestly, when you mentioned just now, that he dribbled past three or four players, and I remember exactly what you're talking about. And the crazy thing is that he's got that quality, because I'm not joking. I think three Liverpool players genuinely tried to take him out of the game there. I think Milner did, Fabinho did, and whoever else was in midfield at the time. They all tried to absolutely. They weren't going. They were looking to stop that attack, and none of them could. Mm. But it's what he did after that. He did the hard work. He just has. There's zero end product. I know he did put on. He has put on some decent chances for teammates that they've missed. But yeah, I think Thierry Henry summed it up perfectly before the game. Said something around, if you look at him as a player and what he can do on the pitch, there's just, in terms of numbers, there's so much, so much more he could do, and we're just not seeing that.
100%. Get well soon, Rui Patricio. Looked like a nasty collision there. We hope that he's okay. Obviously, everything accidental. And it was his own... It was Cody, wasn't it?
And thankfully, he's responsive. Remembers the situation, has been reported, and actually went home last night, so he didn't go to the hospital.
Good.
That's very good to hear. But it did look really ugly.
It did, yeah.
At the time, and Sky Sports weren't doing us any favours by really kind of, in a way, repeating that it was a really ugly incident. We're not going to show you the replays, etc. And it just made you think, oh, this could genuinely be really worrying. So it's thankful that he's okay.
Let's move on. Let's do our man of the week, get that out of the way, and then move over to Abdi and hear, should he go, should he stay, or should he go now? I'm going to start with Tanya. She was smiling at me. She was smiling at me. So I was like, Tanya, go.
Because I feel like, you know, it's not going to be any Tottenham players. So okay. Ian Acho for me, hat trick.
Good shout.
Well deserved. Yep. Pretty self-explanatory, really. I thought he had a good game.
Fair enough. Abdi, because you're looking away.
Yeah, it's because I wanted to do Hinacho, but then she went first. So I do have. I'll go with Pepe, and I don't mean Nicolas Pepe. I mean Pepe from Porto for his amazing performance against Juventus. So
now, out of the box, that one. Out of the box.
Out of the box.
It was a week ago.
I was about to say, what was this, man of the month or?
It was a week ago.
Mark.
Equally, I'm genuinely not even just saying this. I was also going to go for Ian Acho. So, thinking on my feet, I'm gonna keep my biased hat on, and I'm gonna choose Jota. But it was between Jota and McNeil. But I'm gonna give mine to Jota.
Oh yeah,
this week.
McNeil.
Honestly, he deserves it. But no, I'm gonna give it to Jota.
Oh, Abdi.
He has
Change your vote.
You want to take it away from a guy who's got a hat trick for a guy who's got a worldie? That's it.
She's saying you. Change.
No,
yeah.
Change your vote.
I'm sticking with Pepe.
Cool. No, I give it to Jota. Just completely changed our whole dynamic. Has made us so much more fluid. And just so good to have him back. Massive goal for it. And the goal capped off his performance.
I know who Genie is going to pick.
Who am I going to pick, Tanya?
Probably like Odegaard or Smith Rowe, probably.
I was going to say Kieran Tierney, actually, but you raised a good point. Odegaard has scored 2 goals in his last 2 games, and to score his first Premier League goal in a North London derby, I'm going to have to give it to my guy, Martin. So, Odegaard. But love you, Tierney, with all of my heart. That guy. Future
Hate
Arsenal
you,
captain.
Thank you, Tierney.
Future Arsenal captain. He's the best thing ever that's ever happened in history. So, yeah, let's move on. Abdi.
All right, because we're running short of time, I'm going to cut it in half here. But I've got a new segment. Basically, this is, should he stay or should he... No, I didn't even say that. It was, should he go...
Yeah, I know, but...
it's the England squad. So I'm just going to do the goalkeepers and the defenders, yeah? And I'm just going to read out names. It's a long list of players, and you guys just say yes or no, yeah?
Oh.
All right, so Pickford.
No, I mean,
no, but he'll be there.
I didn't ask for a long discussion to say yes.
I would say yes, but not as my first choice. I'll just have him on the plane.
The thing is, the goalkeeping selections are, there's not that many options. I just literally just went and got a few goalkeepers. Pope?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Henderson?
Yep.
Yes.
Alex McCarthy?
No.
Right, you'll stop this whole thing right now.
Hey, I told you. It's just
what are you talking about?
Ben Foster.
No,
I'm joking.
No,
Ben Foster.
No,
no.
And lastly, Ramsdale.
No,
hell no.
He could be in the championship team of the year.
I got some defenders here. All right, cool. So Maguire.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but yes.
No. Yeah.
Eric Dyer.
No. No.
Yeah. I mean.
Tyra Mings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rob Holding?
No.
No.
Can we stop this? Can we stop this again?
Mark, just say yes or no, mate. Michael Keane?
No.
Interesting one. Maybe as a fourth choice. I don't know.
Connor Cody?
Yes.
No.
Lewis Dunk?
No.
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 Craig Dawson?
No.
No.
Ben Godfrey.
Yes.
I'd think about
say
it.
Yes, this is my guy.
He's sexy. He could get on that plane.
This is my guy.
Tanya goes, he's sexy. He could go.
That's the criteria.
Yeah.
Love Island FC.
Come on.
Holgate.
No.
No. No.
No.
Ben White.
Yes, no. I like him. No. No. Okay.
Not this.
Tomori.
No.
Interesting
but
no.
He's not doing quite well.
Interesting, but
Tanya's whole point is going to be defenders. So, yeah.
Tarkovsky.
Tarkovsky.
No, no, about numbers. No. Just say yes or no.
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 All right, cool. Kyle Walker?
Yes.
Huh? Kyle Walker. Wait.
Yeah, Kyle.
I'd take him as like a third choice. Yes. Yeah. I'd take him as a third.
Ben Chilwell.
Ben Chilwell.
No.
Yeah.
Bale will probably get in, but I wouldn't.
Maitland Niles.
No.
No.
No, sadly. No.
John Stones?
Yeah.
Yes.
Reece James?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Kyle Walker Peters?
No.
No.
I ain't gonna answer.
Trent.
Yes.
Yes.
He's injured, but James Justin.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yes. Well, I think he would have been deserving of a call up, definitely.
Yeah.
Just a couple more. Cresswell.
Good shout, again, I mean, if
we're talking form,
no.
If we're talking form, you're looking at Shaw and Cresswell. No. But I wouldn't take him.
But he plays left centre back now. He doesn't even play left back. So Ben Johnson plays left back for West Ham.
He only went five at the back for United. They've been playing four at the back.
But still, Ben Johnson's been playing left back.
Cresswell. And played. Last one is a bit of a. I think I know the answer. Adam Webster. I told you, I just wrote a big list of English defenders.
Oh, mate.
Right, let's go now.
Man said, I can't even. Holgate, holding.
Ben Webster. I reckon there's people who are listening who are thinking, who's Ben Webster?
His name's Adam Webster. But yeah.
Ben Webster.
See, that's why they're thinking who's Ben Webster.
He's not Mark was just keeping you on your toes.
Keeping you on your toes.
Yeah.
Next week I'll have the midfielders and strikers.
All right. Are you going to do a little poem or?
No. Bye.
Wait, we'll do listener questions next week.
Yeah. Oh no! Wait. Do one.
All right. Do one. Quick fire. Which one should I pick, guys?
The one that caught your eye first.
The one that caught my eye first. Okay, let's pick this one. So this one's from Three Midfield. Shout out to them. West Brom and Sheffield United are almost set for relegation, but which of Fulham, Newcastle and Brighton will join them? Or do you think another club like Burnley could be dragged into the battle and why? I mean, we've already touched on this. So maybe we can answer this one quick and do another one quickly.
Yeah, so I think out of the four teams I think that were mentioned, I think the most likely would be Newcastle. Because I can see Fulham picking up points and they play each other anyway on the last day of the season. And I could see Fulham beating Newcastle.
Oh, and a quick fire one that we had from Raw Football Talk. Thanks for the question, guys. What is your pick for the goal of the match week? Lamela's Rabona or McNeil Screamer?
We kind of touched on this as well.
In terms of pure quality, it has to be Lamela's. But in terms of personal favourite, I mentioned it earlier, and I'm not even taking anything away from Lamela. I just really like McNeil's goal. He made it all for himself and he finished it off himself.
Yeah.
I think Lamela's won. I mean, it's a shame that we lost, but in the North London derby, it's got to be up there as one of the best North London derby goals, in my opinion. But anyway, we did get another one, which is it's about Spurs, but I don't know if we should save that one for like my own segment.
Yeah. Do you know what? Is that from the Three in Midfield guys?
Three in Midfield again, yeah.
Do you know what? If you follow us on socials, you would have seen this, but we've invited them on to chat about that question in particular sometime over the international break, and we'll have a good, solid segment on that because it will provoke a lot of discussion from all of us, not just Tottenham fans.
Yeah, defo.
Cool. Well, this has been episode 78.
Wait, you're not going to let me wrap up?
I asked you to do a little poem and you said no.
I changed your mind.
No, we're ending this.
Oh, please.
Have a good week, guys. Follow us and all that jazz. See you later.
Woo-woo.
Bosh.
Later,
sweet.
Guys.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.